2 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to try to preach a message based on my life verse. Verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight. Verse 17. The Bible says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Father, I love you tonight, and I'm glad tonight that I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. Lord, I did not clean up my act, turn over a new leaf, amen. I did not go straight, Lord God. I became a new creature because of that blood that you shed. Thank you for going to the cross for the likes of me. I didn't deserve it then, I don't deserve it now. But Lord, I'm sure thankful for it, and I pray that my life reflects my gratitude. I pray that it's not just lip service to you, Lord. Father, you're worthy of a better job of praise and of worshiping than we've done tonight. And I regret to have to admit that we probably did a better job here tonight than you've seen in a while. But God, help us to draw nigh to you. Father, we pray that you'd meet with us tonight. You'd manifest yourself through your word. I pray that your spirit would bear witness to the preaching tonight. You'd help me just be a vessel meet for the master's use and not just waste these precious people's time. Lord, if anything goes right, we'll give you the glory. If anything goes wrong, we'll take the blame. Father, you are worthy of more than our best. Help us to do our best for your honor. Father, if there's one in here tonight doesn't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're going to heaven, I pray that before they get in their car, before they leave this property, I pray that pull one of us aside. Let us open the Bible and show them what it says. Thank you for being so good to this old sinner, Lord. Now I pray for this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I got saved in Montgomery County Jail, Dayton, Ohio, almost 19 years ago. I was held on federal drug and automatic weapons charges. I was looking at doing a lot of time in prison. Preacher came and it preached about hell. I went to a service just to get out of my cell. I wasn't looking for God. I didn't have any desire to get religious. That was the only thing they let me out of my cell to do, is to go to church on a Saturday morning. And I went, and the preacher basically said something like this. He said, I don't know what you men are in here for, but whatever it is, it's nothing compared to dying in your sin and spending eternity in hell. And I was looking at 37 years federal time at the time, and I thought to myself, thanks a lot, chaplain. That cheered me right up. After the government gets done with me, and whatever part of that 37 years I live, after that, I'm going to end up in hell. And I didn't appreciate that much. I didn't like the message too much, but the Bible said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I do appreciate somebody having the guts to tell me the truth. My other experience with prison chaplains had been more like, Jesus loves you and everything's going to be all right. Boy, this preacher told me how much Jesus loved me, but then he told me, you die without him, it ain't going to be all right. Hey, listen, if you die without Christ tonight, it's not going to be all right. So I got saved about 3 weeks later, amen. Called the preacher, got a message to the church, amen. And he came, and after talking to me on two different occasions, and I said to him, I said, what am I supposed to do now? And he just looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, everybody I know is a criminal. I've never worked a legal job since I got out of the paratroopers. I have no skill, no trade. I'm 37 years old. I'm a professional outlaw. All my friends are outlaws. What am I supposed to do now? And he just looked at me and he opened his Bible and he read the verse that we just read pretty much to himself, but audibly enough, I could hear him mumbling, and he read it and he looked up at me and he said, well, it looks like according to the Bible, God's going to have to give you some new friends. It's just that simple to Brother Gresham. When you ask a question, you look and see what the Bible says. He didn't give me some philosophical or psychological analysis. He just said, well, if old things are passed away and all things become new when you get in Christ, then I guess we'll leave it up to Christ to answer your question. Can I say tonight that I am thankful that He has indeed given me some new friends? And I count you among them, and I thank you for letting me come. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Recently, a preacher said that, and it's kind of relative. I don't even know when it was anymore. It was sometime late last year. And I guess that's recently when you live in a Winnebago and drive around, everything kind of gets blurry. Amen. And everything but this doesn't get blurry. Amen. This world's getting blurry. Amen. Even with my glasses on. And I was somewhere and there was a big screen TV going and there was a show on and it captured my attention and there was no sound. It was a place where they sold them. And so it's just a show that's on. And here's what was on the screen. I don't have a TV, so I was fascinated by it. All right. I'd never seen it before. And there's a big house in the middle of the screen. It was a house in a real bad neighborhood, run down, dirty. Looked like the place I was staying in when God sent the cops to get me. Amen. Bad side of town. And the place looked real run down, and I saw it on the big screen, and all of a sudden, vehicles started pulling up from every direction, and that got my attention, and I thought, look, men jumped out, started flinging open doors and grabbing stuff and running toward the house. I thought, hey, I remember that day. Amen. They busted the door down and went inside, and I was waiting. I'm standing there. There's people walking around shopping, and I'm standing there like this, staring at the thing. Amen. Like I say, I wasn't used to that, even having a television. I waited for a little while, and they never brought anybody out. But while I was watching, I saw a sink come flying out the window. Amen. Saw cabinets flying out the window. They started tearing. They took the cameraman in, started tearing walls down. And it took me a little while. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, they say. Amen. But I'm not a spoon either. Don't. Took me a little while to figure it out, and I figured it out. I thought it was an undercover SWAT team, but that's not what it was. It was a bunch of guys. They were remodeling this house. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I thought to myself, this is a very violent show that they're watching, letting children watch. Amen. It's 8 o'clock, and here comes Blanche. Amen. So I got to watching that thing, and I want to say this about it. When they started, it was a filthy, rotten, dirty shambles of a place, and it was unfit for its original intended purpose. It was vacant. Amen. I mean, if you'd asked me what to do, I'd have sent a D9er cat in there and plowed it down. Amen. But they went in and they did this work and they kind of fast-forwarded time elapsed photography and stuff. And so in the course of the time I stood there, I saw it before they started and what they ended up with. And you'd have never recognized it when they got done. It had undergone a total transformation from what it was. It went from ugly to beautiful. It went from disgusting to desirable. Amen. It went from worthless to valuable. And I waited around long enough, and I finally saw, and it said, it had an extreme makeover. That book says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, those of you that are saved in here tonight, there was a time when you resembled that old house. You was rotten and dirty and filthy and in the Lord's eyes anyway. And you were totally unsuitable for your intended purpose. And Brother Eric already read the verse tonight. I preached on it the other night. Revelation 4, you're created for His pleasure. But before you became a child of God, you couldn't do that. You weren't pleasing to God. Amen. And then something happened. Now I'm going to preach on that tonight. And I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to tell you what happened in two words. But God. Yeah. Amen. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for it. And there's people in churches that think God must be pleased with them because they cleaned up so nice. I'm glad tonight my God loved me, committed his love toward me. I'm glad that God gave his only begotten son for me. I'm glad Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross for me at the bottom, at my worst state, not after anything I did. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 says this, but God, again, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. And it's occurred to me on several occasions that if there's anything God needed to be rich in to save the likes of Dave Spurgeon, it was mercy. And I'm glad tonight that he is rich in mercy. What happened? But God. But God. If you're saved here tonight, it's because God interceded on your behalf with love and mercy. And you got, let me see, extreme. How about this for extreme? How about born again? How about redeemed? Amen. That's pretty extreme. That bought back from the devil. Amen. How about converted? That word converted, it says in Acts chapter 3, except you be converted. Amen. And I'm happy tonight to say, amen, that the moment you got saved, no matter what you were like before, compared to anybody else, the moment that you got saved, a radical change took place. Radical. Radical. Say, well, I never looked like you. I was never a dope addict. I was never a criminal. I was never done. Let me tell you something. You was headed for the same hell I was. And the moment you got saved, your eternal direction changed 180 degrees just like mine. Amen. Extreme to this extent, before you got saved, you as a child of the devil. Let me add this right here. If you're not saved, that's who you're a child of right now. And I speak the truth in love. I'm not saying that to be ugly. We are not all God's children. And that book said in John chapter 8 that the devil's got children. And if you're not saved here tonight, scripturally born again, you belong to him and you need to cross the line tonight and get on the winning side once and for all. Good preaching, Brother Spurgeon. Amen. I know it. I'll take it. Amen. Got to amen yourself sometimes. If you're saved here tonight, you had an extreme makeover. I want to preach on it. I want to give you some things about it. Number one, this extreme makeover, this new creature in Christ is extremely necessary for you to get to heaven. It's extremely necessary. You ain't going to get there any other way. That book says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. You know, the Bible says volume by what it doesn't say. You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say, therefore, if any man be in church. Doesn't say that. I love church. I'm in church almost every night. Amen. And praise the Lord. That's where I want to be. I've run with some pretty interesting crowds through my life, and Christians are the best crowd I ever run with. Say, yeah, there's a lot of hypocrites. There is in every other group too, my friend. Believe that. Amen. It doesn't say, therefore, if any man be in church, that's not what's going to get you to heaven. It doesn't say, therefore, if any man get in a baptistry. You can get in a baptistry, amen, till the tadpoles know your name. That ain't going to get you into heaven. Doesn't say if any man be a good person. Doesn't say if any man be reformed, go straight, or get rehabilitated. That's not what's going to get you in. You need this conversion. You need this extreme makeover. You need to become a new creature in Christ. You don't need to turn over a new leaf. You need to be a new creature. Amen. And I'm going to tell you how it is. Either you're in Christ or you're not. And if you ever get in, you're in. That's it. Now, that's Bible salvation. Say, I don't agree with that. Well, you've been wrong before. Amen. You're welcome to God Bless America. I just was on the battlefield then today where America stood up against England. Praise the Lord, this is America. I tell you what's been paid for by the blood of our veterans. You're right to disagree. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a subject tonight that's so serious. I hope you don't disagree. Don't let your right to have your own opinion put you in a lake of fire tonight. You can disagree with me, but don't disagree with God. He's right. Amen. You're wrong. He's right. Amen. Extreme makeover is necessary to go to heaven. Nobody's going to heaven without being in Christ. Being in Mohammed ain't going to get you there. Amen. Being in Buddha ain't going to get you nowhere. Amen. That book says in Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none. That's spelled N-O-N-E. That means none. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Nobody's getting in. Being in Christ, the only thing that's going to get you there. It's extremely necessary to have this extreme makeover. If you even think you're going to have a shot at getting to heaven, it is really that simple. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then for hardheads like us, he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm going to tell you what that means tonight. It means exactly what it says. Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. Lord, make this Bible simple enough. Old drug addict drunk like me can get it. What excuse is anybody going to have to end up in hell? Amen. Rebellion, that's what'll put you in hell. Because the Lord made the gospel simple enough for anybody to get it. All right? So, extreme makeover is extremely necessary. But I'm happy to report this too. I'm happy to report that this extreme makeover is extremely possible. It's extremely possible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I stood in a penitentiary with 40 men, amen, hard timers, and I said this. Now, it says, for God so loved, and when we get to that place right there, I want you men to say your name. And I've had 40 convicts in a gymnasium in a penitentiary more than once, and I'd say, for God so loved, and then all across the room, they'd all say their name. And that's how it is. And that's how it is in here tonight. For God so loved you tonight. We get to reciting John 3:16 like it's a nursery rhyme or something like that. I'm going to tell you what it is. That's probably the most powerful verse in the entire Bible. And it's not, listen, it's personal tonight. It doesn't, the world that God loved is not a whosoever, man. That's people. That's you and me. Hey, listen, whosoever means this. It means that extreme makeover is extremely possible for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That's good news. I like to report that. It says this in Acts chapter 2. In verse 21, that's where all the heretics get their doctrine. Amen. And it shall come to pass. All right, what's that mean? Duh, that means future. It says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says, it shall come to pass. It hadn't come to pass in Acts chapter 2, but it said something that did come to pass. Why didn't Alexander Campbell stop there instead of going on to verse 38 and starting a whole denomination based on baptism? He is speaking to Israel when he said that. My friend, beloved, tonight I'm having a report that when Paul wrote the book of Romans, he said it, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm happy to report tonight it did indeed come to pass. This extreme makeover is available to you tonight because it's available to anybody and everybody. It's extremely possible. I heard it said like this. He'll save from the uttermost, amen, whoever that is, to the best of the best, of the cream of the crop. The Bible still says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He is saved from the uttermost, amen, to the guttermost, amen. I don't mind being in that category one bit. I'm glad tonight that my sins are forgiven. I'm glad tonight we sing a hymn that says the vilest offender can go free. Hey, I'm glad tonight to be free in Jesus Christ. I'm not a prisoner of my sin anymore. Amen. I'm a prisoner of God's love. I've been on both sides of this thing. This is better. Some of you need to get in. Some of you need to try it. You'd like it. Amen. Just ain't got the guts. Well, I pray God gives you the guts to live for Jesus Christ, you chicken. Amen. That wasn't in my message, but you know, I just how it is. Amen. Listen, yeah, you may, and some of us, you know, you're like me. Some of you may struggle with your past. You may struggle with your memory. People might find choice time to remind you about things, but I'm having to report God will never throw it in your face. I'm glad that this extreme makeover is extremely possible. It is so possible that if anybody goes to hell, they go in spite of the love of God. They go in spite of that mercy. They go in spite of our prayers. They go in spite of that book. They go in spite of the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Anybody, and the Bible indicates in Matthew chapter 7, most people are going to end up there. But it's sure not God's fault or God's will or God's desire. Amen. The Bible, we looked at it last night. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish. He made redemption available to all that would receive the gift of eternal life by his grace, our faith in his grace. It is a gift. Amen. I'm glad that tonight, my name's in the book of life. I'm glad tonight that I had a praying mama. Hey, boy, if there's anybody that looked like they were not going to get it, it was Dave Spurgeon, but I got it. Thank God the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. No matter who you know, no matter who you know, mother, father, son, daughter, amen, brother, sister, no matter how far out there they might seem to be, God can get them. Amen. You keep praying because this thing's extremely possible. Extremely possible. Amen. Extreme makeover tonight. It's extremely necessary, but at the same time, you say, well, you're narrow-minded. Well, I'm narrow-minded enough to believe this. I believe God will save whosoever. Now, if that's narrow-minded, then I guess that's what I am. That's not all, though. This extreme makeover, this salvation that's a free gift to you and I, you know, it's true, man. It's true. It's been said people only appreciate what they paid for. If you give somebody something for nothing, that's a destructive result of our welfare system over the last four decades. We've been giving people stuff for nothing so long, they don't appreciate nothing. And there's a system set up in our country that could have helped people if it had been used the way it was meant to be used, but it's been abused, and that's just how human nature is when you abuse something that you don't have anything invested in. Salvation's a free gift tonight. I told my preacher that first year I was saved, knowing how people are, fresh off the street, amen. And some people, they think the more you pay for something, the better it must be. Amen. I've watched people, you can take the same thing and sell it for this much in this neighborhood, and then at this neighborhood, you'd have to cut the price in half because you don't follow me, but that's okay. I said this to the preacher. I said, let's advertise in the Wall Street Journal that we have the secret to eternal life, $10,000. And there's people that'll respond to that. And then we'll run ad in other papers around the country that we have the gift of the secret of eternal life at $1,000. Amen. And then, you know, in Blackstone Enlightener, amen, I don't know, we'll charge $10. I don't know. I guarantee you, man, people respond to everything else, the fountain of youth and buying all kinds of junk to pour down their neck. Amen. They think that stuff ain't going to make you just die healthier. I just set back the health and wealth gospel about a decade right there. Amen. Let me say to you tonight, it might have been free to us, but you've heard it said it wasn't free to God. It wasn't free to the Lord Jesus Christ, was it? This Bible wasn't free to the folks that were burned at the stake and nailed to crosses and tortured and sawn asunder so that you and I could have the Word of God laying around and we rest to our own destruction and twist and use it for our own purposes. We read Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 last night. Don't you know that when you take something out of context, that Bible, to use to browbeat somebody else, don't you know the Holy Spirit take a note of all that? Don't you realize that book's alive tonight? But then again, at the same time, you go into that book with an honest desire to get something from God, He'll give you something. Amen. Amen and amen. Don't make me amen myself again. I'll take it, Brother Steve. I'll take it. Let me put it to you like this. Let me say it like this. This extreme makeover we're talking about tonight, even though it was a free gift to you, it required an extreme measure. Let me define it like this. God, you know, the one we've been singing about, the one we owe everything to, God stepped out from nothing because there was nothing to step out from. He stepped onto nothing because there was nothing to step onto. He spoke to nothing because there was nothing to speak to. And everything that is came into being. That's God. You know what happened? The sun began to shine, and the wind began to blow, and the birds began to sing. And after 6 days, He looked at His creation and He said, "It is good." That God, that same God, entered humanity one day through the womb of a virgin Jewish girl. Amen? That same God was born sinless, lived sinless, and died sinless. He healed lepers while He was here. He restored sight. He cast out devils. And He raised people from the dead. And He preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And about Him it was said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Could I tell you tonight that the little sins that you're dabbling around with, you don't think are such a big deal because you never murdered anybody or you never did this or that. Jesus Christ died to take away your sin. Amen. And sin is so bad. You can play it down. You can excuse it. You can compare yourself to others. The Bible says you're a fool if you do that. But boy, we do it, don't we? Your sin is so bad that it required the crucifixion of the Son of God to pay for. That's pretty extreme, isn't it? It gets more extreme than that. And we're in 2 Corinthians 5. Look at verse 21. Boy, one day this verse hit me like a ton of bricks. We get so used to saying, according to the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus, how Christ died for our sins. And you can think of people, Bible says in Romans chapter 10, that peradventure for some, a good man, chapter 5, would even dare to die. And we've got heroes in our history, amen. They're not the Michael Jacksons and Michael Jordans, amen. We've got men and women, too, that have rose to the occasion, sacrificed their lives, so that we can have the freedom to assemble here tonight. We have produced some real heroes in the heritage of our country. Amen. I apologize to no one for being an American and loving my country. Amen. Even with their faults, amen. It's still the best. Verse 21 says this, "For He hath made Him to be sin." He didn't just die for our sin like a hero in battle. The lovely Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, became sin, who knew no sin. See, we can't comprehend that. I can't even begin to make you comprehend it. I can't comprehend it myself. Why? Because I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We can't even fathom what it was like for Jesus Christ to be made sin, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. We can't fathom it. What blows my mind is some of us, we're not even trying to appreciate that. We ought to. If you're saved here tonight, one day that God that created everything became sin for you so that you could become a new creature in Christ. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, one day that same God that created everything died on a cross and shed His blood so that you could become a new creature in Christ. I'm going to tell you something, man. You ain't never going to find a better deal than that. You'd be foolish to pass that up. This extreme makeover we're talking about, it's extremely necessary. Nobody's going to heaven without it, and this life will pass. This extreme makeover is extremely possible. Dave Spurgeon can get it. Anybody can get it. This extreme makeover that was free to you and I, this extreme makeover required an extreme measure on the part of the Lord of glory we've been singing about. And this extreme makeover, if you get it, that book says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You ever really get in Christ, there'll be some extreme evidence. There'll be some extreme evidence. Man, all these people that make these professions and you never see them again and they never make an effort to live for God or get any victory and all they want to do is strive and contend and then argue that they're saved because they played. I wouldn't give a nickel for your prayer. Amen. Because the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. I understand people can backslide, but I know a lot of people that claim to be saved and they never front slid. They'd never made a move at all toward God. You didn't backslide. Nothing happened. They'll be, look in verse 15. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. There'll be some extreme evidence. Is it my opinion? My opinion isn't worth any more than yours. I'll be the first to admit that. I'm preaching my opinion here tonight. Or any night. God's book says this, verse 15, and that He died for all. The context is Christ. And that He died for all. There you go. That they which live, you saved here tonight?
Yes.
Amen. That they which live, you alive in here tonight?
Yeah.
That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Now listen, before you got saved, that's the only choice you had. That was your only option, and to live unto yourself, amen? And you are affected and influenced by this world that the preacher keeps talking about, and that's really, that's just how it is. But if you're saved, you got a choice. You got an option. It's more than that. It's not just a choice. This is common sense. This is elementary, my dear Watson. Should not henceforth live unto themselves. Now, that's what you used to do. That's what some of you are still doing. But you're not supposed to be. And here's what you're supposed to be doing. But unto Him which died for them and rose again. There's no possible way to confuse the context. That's Christ. And the evidence of the extreme makeover is this simple. Who you live for. Don't you know that millions of Americans go to church every Sunday? There's people that go to church every day. Man, there's people that pray more faithfully, read something more faithfully than some of us. That's not what makes you a Christian. The evidence of ever getting this extreme makeover in a world where the flesh cries, Me first. That's the natural man. But when you get saved, it's Jesus first. Amen. And the evidence is who you live for. Amen. Let me put it to you like this. Here's a good illustration. We were talking about Stonewall Jackson today. And Stonewall Jackson was a Confederate general, and he was under Robert E. Lee. And one night in the winter of 1862, Jackson's camp was about 8 miles from Lee's. There was a blizzard going on. There had been sleet and rain and then freezing and snow. It was a real bad night. And Lee had to send communication over to Jackson's camp, and he had his courier get the orders and everything, and he sent him over there, and it was in the evening, and it was important strategical information, and Lee said, by the way, when you get there, get a message to General Jackson that I need to see him. I wish to see him at my earliest convenience. And the guy took the message, and by the time the courier got there, 8 miles on a horse in a blizzard, he was frozen almost solid, and they had to help him off his horse, and he got to wherever he had to deliver the message, and then he completed his mission and got word to General Jackson, and by now it's pretty late and it's very cold, and he got the message, and Jackson immediately stopped what he was doing, whatever he was doing. Stopped what he was doing and secured his gear, got his coat and his scarf and his gloves and his hat, and he started putting everything on, and as was his habit, he went off alone a lot. And he got out there late in the evening in this blizzard, and he sent for his horse, and he got his horse, and he got on it. And he took quite a while to get to Lee's camp. And when he got there, he was frozen solid, and he had icicles in his beard, and his ears were just about frostbit, and he had to be helped off his horse. He's so stiff. But as he approached his general's tent, he brushed himself off, and that professional military deportment began to come to play, and he asked permission to enter the tent. And he went in, and Lee's back was to him, said, yeah, come in. And Jackson stood there, and he saluted, and he said, sir, you wish to see me? And Lee turned around and he said, my God, man, the message was I wished to see you at your earliest convenience. I had no intention of you coming out on a night like this. And Jackson stood there and said, sir, your wish is my command. You know, if soldiers can have that kind of loyalty, shouldn't Christians have it? We've got the Spirit of God that bears witness to the new creature in Jesus Christ inside of us if you're saved. We've got the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, and I'll tell you, sometimes it feels like the ministry is more like pulling teeth in the old days trying to convince people that you have a debt, that he loved you, that you ought to live for him, that it's in your best interest, and we don't have the integrity to realize that his wish ought to be our command. I didn't get religious. I'm not religious now. I didn't turn over a new leaf. God changed my heart. And I fail all the time. But there's a desire in my heart to live for Jesus Christ. Amen? And when I say something I shouldn't say, or have a spirit or an attitude I shouldn't have, and the Spirit of God convicts me, I'm not going to let my pride, I'm not going to let this flesh that lusteth against the Spirit of God cause me to seek after something that's not pleasing to God. I want to repent and get right. Stay in the fight. just man falleth seven times but rises up again. I want to get up and get back in the fight. Why? Because one day, Dave Spurgeon had an extreme makeover. Now, this extreme makeover is extremely necessary, and it's extremely possible. But it required an extreme measure, and I think we take it for granted because he made it so easy for us. You can't work your way to heaven, but you ought to be working to get other people to heaven because you're saved. Now, this extreme makeover will have some extreme evidence. And it won't be like pulling teeth to get you to line up with the Bible. There should be something in there that wants to. And when the light of the Spirit of God and the Word of God shines on an area in your life, you should conform. Now, like I said, let me say it again. Sometimes it's not easy, but we're supposed to be working toward it instead of puffing our chest out in rebellion and saying, I don't care. Here's what you're saying to God. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what the Holy Spirit is grieved or not. I'm going to do it the way I want. That is the path to destruction, even for a saved person. Not to hell, but it is a destructive way to live. Have you had it? Stream makeover? Or are you just therefore in church, therefore not doing what you used to do, not doing what everybody else does? Are you saved tonight? Do you realize what it took? Do you realize how little the Lord really asks of us? Really, he doesn't ask much. He just wants your heart. Some of you are so afraid you won't have any fun if you sell out. You'll never have any fun because the Holy Spirit of God is grieved within you. And you wouldn't know the peace of God or the joy of God if it sat down on the pew next to you. Not until you get it confessed, get right, ask God to help you see the light. That's how it is. Last of all, this extreme makeover has an extreme responsibility. Maybe that's why we don't get a hold of the evidence, because we don't realize that there's an extreme responsibility. There is. Look in verse 20. This is the last one. Maybe. Verse 20 says this: Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, you know what an ambassador is? That's a representative. Amen. And if you have an ambassador sent to a country, then people that see that ambassador and the American, entourage with it, Marine Corps and others that are part of that embassy, a lot of times, then people are going to judge all of us by how that small group conducts themselves. That's why it's a position of extreme honor and responsibility to be an ambassador. And the Bible says if you're in Christ, you're to be an ambassador to Christ. You're to represent Christ to a lost and dying world. That's an extreme responsibility. But let's take it a step further. It says, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Amen. What does that mean? Well, it's just a way of saying instead of here, because this, Christ came, Christ lived, Christ set an example. The Bible says we're to follow his steps, 2 Peter chapter 2. He gave us an example and told us what to do and enabled us to do it, and then he went home. But we didn't go home yet. That's because he's not done yet. That means there are some things that we're supposed to do instead of him because he went on. For example, Christ is never going to hand out a gospel tract, but you can. Christ isn't inviting anybody to church to hear the preaching of the gospel, but you can. Christ isn't going to the nursing home or the prison. He left that up to us. We have an extreme responsibility not just to represent Christ as we drive around with a smile or something like that. Hey, listen, there's some things. We're supposed to try to reach a lost and dying world in Christ's stead. There's more to it than that. He's not going to put his arm around somebody that needs comfort, says, I understand what you're going through. Christ isn't going to do that. That's what you're supposed to do, though. The Bible says to comfort others, wherewith the comfort ye were comforted with. I'm going to tell you what, I can know some Bible, and I know he'll never leave, but I've been through some stuff, and God brought people my way that understood, and that helped me. God would like to use you to help somebody in his stead. Now, Christ could do the comforting. He's not here. He left that up to you. If you're a Christian, are you? Or are you just doing what you did before? Just living for yourself. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody's going to be straightened out on that one day. When you stand before Jesus Christ, you're going to be ashamed if that's the testimony you take to the judgment seat of Christ, that you just did it your way. And then you're going to be sorry, and you're going to repent. Problem is, it's going to be too late to do anything about it. And you've wasted your whole life. And there's people that God would like to use you to reach, but you're going to do it your way. You're not going to do it the Bible way. You're not going to have some preacher tell you what to do. And like I say, you ain't heard a still small voice of the Holy Spirit in so long, it'd probably scare you. I'll tell you what, maybe you need to get reaccustomed to that voice tonight at old-fashioned altar and ask him to speak to your heart. When that thing says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, it means it's possible not to. I want to tell you something, peace of God is a valuable thing. And if you don't have it tonight, you can have it back. And whatever it is that's bogging you down, boy, you need to give that to God tonight. Whether it's bitterness, whether it's some sin, amen. And we can leave better, and we can leave different. We can leave with more than just another message. Who needs another message? I'm trying to wrap this thing up, and I'm trying to tell you the importance of this thing. Now, listen, preaching's important. Preaching's the power of God. God ordained this method. I didn't think of it. Colleges don't teach it. Amen? But I'm going to tell you something. This isn't magic. The greatest preacher in the world can get up here and preach to you all day long, and it's not going to change anything if you don't do anything with it. Preaching is not what changes people's lives. Being a doer of the word is what changes people's lives. I hope you do something with this. I think God really wants to speak to some of you tonight. Extreme responsibility in Christ's stead. You know what this world needs to know? That he took care of their biggest problem on Calvary. They need to know that. They don't know that. They don't know that. They're hung up on their problems. They got committees, and they got czars, and they got what do they got? All that stuff in Washington and every campus, and they're trying to figure everything out. And they ain't gonna figure nothing out. They don't have a clue. They're clueless. You're not clueless if you're saved. God took care of our biggest problem, and he did it the hard way on the cross. And if you're saved here tonight, I hope you get a glimpse of the Lord of glory that did so much for you. And if you're trying to live for him like I am and others in here, and we're not perfect, but we're trying. And if you're trying, could I say to you, keep at it. Just keep at it. And when you hit a stump, man, just lock down and plow harder and get through it and get up when you mess up and get right with God and go on. Amen. And if you're not doing what you ought to be doing for Christ, well, it's time to start. Time to repent of just being stubborn and bullheaded and rebellious. And you'd be so glad with what God would feel like again in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Extreme makeover tonight. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Amen? It's extremely necessary to go to heaven. Are you saved tonight? I hope so. You can be. It's extremely possible. It's easy. It's easy. It's so easy, people miss it. It's so easy, people take it too lightly and say some little prayer and never even understand what Christ really did. Amen. I wouldn't try to take that into eternity with me. Some little prayer. It better be real to you. If it is, there'll be some evidence. And it'll revolve around who you live for. I'm not saying there won't be any more struggles. But some of you aren't struggling at all. You're just doing what you want to do. And you're playing some game. This ain't a game. You're not fooling anybody. You're not fooling God. You ain't fooling anybody. And this thing here, if you really want to live for God, there'll be some responsibility you can partake in. You'll be ready to give an answer to every man that asks a reason of you, the hope that lies within you. You'll have a track in your pocket. You'll invite people to church. You'll want to get something from the Bible so that you can help somebody else. Every one of us knows lost people. So anyway, that's the message. Extreme makeover. Well, you'd never recognize that house. It changed. Dave Spurgeon changed. Lord, change my heart. How about you? Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight, and I pray and ask you to take this invitation any way you want it to go. Father, we've got, at the least, everybody in here that's saved got so much to be thankful for. You, we can't even begin to comprehend what you did in creating this world, let alone what you did to create a way for sin to be forgiven, and every one of us is guilty of taking it for granted. Help us, Lord, to be reminded tonight and to be grateful, and may our gratitude be evidenced in our life and our walk, not just in lip service when it's convenient or appropriate. Father, help it to be real to us again so that we can make a difference. Help us to be less concerned with making a living and more concerned with making a difference. Father, I love you tonight. I thank you for what you did that day and that cell. I thank you for what you've done on thousands of days since. I thank you for what you've done for me today already. And I pray and ask, Lord, you'd help me be a better witness and take my responsibility more seriously. And I thank you for your grace and your goodness and the honor and privilege to preach here. Lord, if there's somebody in here that's not saved, I pray you make it real easy for them to get saved, Lord. I pray that tonight they just stop and consider that the way they're heading, they may think, is confined to this world, but the way they're heading is not going to stop at the grave. It's going to take them right into hell. And I pray that tonight they do an exam, a checkup, pray they might be curious enough to find out what the Bible has to say about the issue. And Lord, there's some folks in here that might be saved, but they're so opinionated and stubborn, and they've forgotten the Bible says stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, and rebellion is witchcraft, and I don't even understand what keeps them going, I guess, except for your love. And I pray that because of your love tonight that they might examine themselves, maybe even get something right before they poison people around them, their children. And God, what a responsibility you've given us. I love you tonight, Lord. Bless the invitation, and this preacher and all that he says after I step away. In Jesus' name, amen.